If you have your Bibles, go with me in the Old Testament tonight to 2 Chronicles, a familiar passage that God has just burdened me with tonight. I'm sure that many of you have this memorized. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Believe this or not, I'm going to take this one verse and maybe spread out over 3 or 4 weeks, probably 3 weeks. I'm going to preach it tonight, Wednesday night, and the following Wednesday night before Jubilee. And I believe it'll be a help to you. And I'm going to just take my time on it. How many love preaching? I love preaching. Amen. And you know, I know that we're in Hurricane, West Virginia, and we think we're a small town. But I want to remind you of something. This church has a great outreach across America. It really does. And it's churches like this across America that set the tone for the nation and what we need in our nation. And I'm glad for a church that's been planted here and that I've had just a little part to be a part of it. And thank God for you. I've been thinking about y'all all day. I have lovely thoughts about you today. And I thank God for you. Now, if you're there, say amen. Before I go, I'm going to just say a little funny thing, then I'll preach. I'm not a jokester, so it is kind of funny. It's funny when you laugh at yourself, okay? We're getting ready for a Jubilee golf tournament. I haven't played golf since September the 9th. That was D-Day. Almost died day. But today, I launched out in the deep. I got my big Bertha driver out. 10 fingers in a prayer. And I went out in the backyard. And I said, God, please, help me not to fall when I swing. I swung 5 times. Didn't even hurt my hip. Somebody help me preach right there. And you said, what'd you do? I might as well demonstrate since a lot of y'all can't play golf. You know, really, you line up something like this, but that's not how you do if you had hip surgery. You know, I lined up like this. That way I don't have to turn my hip. Somebody tell me how smart I am. Somebody help me. Now I got you smiling. Isn't it good to be in church? Isn't it good to love God? Isn't it good to know God's on the throne? Isn't it good to know even though our world is in chaos, God is in control? I'm thankful for it. I'm going to give you a great truth tonight, and I'll start, and then we'll finish sometime down the road. It'll only take 3 sermons, but it may take more. But look at this great verse. Would y'all do me a favor? Let's have a contest. And Chad will get candy bars for everybody that succeeds. Okay, Chad? For everybody that can quote 2 Chronicles 4 or 7, 14, before 3 weeks are up, Chad's going to get you a candy bar. He may buy you one sucker, and if how y'all share it, it's up to you. But I want to challenge you. Will you do it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want to challenge you to memorize it. Teenagers, I want you to memorize it. I'm going to call some of you up here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it spontaneously. I'm going to say, like, Emma, come up here. You might be the first. And Evan, come up here. Liberty, come up here. If you can memorize a song, you can memorize. Somebody help me preach. But I just want to challenge us. Because I really believe the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14, God's still able. Amen. Now let's read the verse and you start thinking about how you're going to get it memorized. And we'll do it. We'll start doing it next week, and maybe Wednesday night we got prayer meeting. We'll do a little. Many of y'all got it. With Ted, you better get you some candy bars, and we'll do that Wednesday night. The Bible said, "If my people, which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now notice, threefold promise. Then will I hear from heaven. The Lord will hear us and will forgive their sin. The Lord will help us and will heal their land. And the Lord will heal us. You might say, what are you preaching on? Here's what I'm going to preach on the next three messages. Four hindrances to healing. Four hindrances to healing. How many of y'all believe the Bible's the Word of God? Hey, you talked about it. You talked about the heritage. We either believe it's the Word of God or we don't believe it's the Word of God. And if we do believe it's the Word of God, how many believe that promise? There's a potential in that promise. But it's not up to God, but it's up to us to meet the conditions. Now, regardless of what you think, we need healing in this land. And I want to say this to you. I'm not a political preacher. Sometimes maybe things I say bleeds over into that, but I'm not a political preacher. I don't think politics is the answer to our need. I still think God can heal our land. I'm not a pundit. I'm not one of those. I'm just not. I don't believe in it. But I am not going to avoid issues that the Bible speaks against.
Amen.
I think we ought to be honest about that. You said, why do we need healing in this land? Ladies and gentlemen, we kill 1.27 million babies a year. And we don't need healing? We all wept at those children that were killed this week. But in clinics all over the nation, they're killing babies up to 9 months. It's an atrocity. It's wickedness as high as it can get. Dear God, we need healing. And let's just be honest with each other. The moral fabric of this country is at an all-time low. We've let small segments of this country run this country. Come on now. We have redefined the gender lines. Now I may get in a little hot water tonight, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm a man and you're a woman. And by the way, God made it that way. And it is to pervert God's word to stray from that. I'm not talking about no political party. I'm talking about a wicked society that is trying to direct this nation right into hell itself. Am I preaching? And somebody ought to say it. I mean, listen, don't come up to me and tell me to use another pronoun for you, because I'm going to call you a woman if you're a woman. I'm not going through pronoun school. I had somebody, by the way, Chad knows this. We had somebody just on my email and our email say she has forced to take a pronoun school or pronoun course, and then she will be forced in her job to use those pronouns in her job. And the question was, what should I do? I'd find me another job. Now I know it's a little radical. Somebody help me preach. Ladies and gentlemen,
Don't ask me to compromise that.
Amen.
Don't ask me to step off the stage on that. A man is a man and a woman is a woman, and you know the difference. I don't know if you know this, but 1.2 million people, more people last year, Chad gave me this information, homeschooled their children. You say, why? There's a good reason. I mean, they're teaching critical race theory. Maybe not in this country. I don't know. Some of you educators in West Virginia can tell me if any of that's forced on you. But some states are facing it. I don't know about us. But I do know this. It's wrong. See, we need healing. And healing will come by repentance. Healing will come when we say enough is enough of that junk. Oh, yeah, the liberals right now scream it's enough, enough because of a gun. But ladies and gentlemen, they've been selling weapons for over 100 years or 100 some years. And, but not until about 15 years ago did we have school shootings. Ladies and gentlemen, hold me. I don't mind us to make some strategies to keep a gun out of a mentally ill person. We ought to. But to say get rid of our Second Amendment rights because of that, listen, what we need healing. We need healing mentally. We need healing emotionally. We need healing spiritually.
Amen. Amen.
And listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I'm not sitting on a political point tonight. You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican in this room or an independent, you know what's right and what's wrong and what's moral and what's good.
Amen.
And we ought not fight about it.
Amen.
Well, amen. And I'm sure I'll get phone on YouTube tonight. You know, there's a bunch of knuckleheads out there that have got their little websites that's just watching me preach every Sunday. And the first time I say something they don't like, such as I believe in the King James Bible, or I believe in conservative music, or... By the way, we're not only rotten from out, we're rotten from within. Our churches have got so weak. You say, we don't need a healing. I'll tell you where we need a healing, right in the churches.
Amen.
There's some independent Baptist churches that need a healing. We're wrecked the car. Just because we got a little pressure on us. We don't have to change the Bible. We don't have to change the music. We don't have to be a charismatic. We don't have to be a... Will somebody help me pray? We don't have to be a Calvinist. Hey, by the way, just believe the Bible.
Amen.
But I tell you what's happening is we're letting a small group of people who are real fancy with the internet and social media intimidate us. It's time for His people that is called by His name to stand up and say, God's enough to bring revival.
Amen.
Amen.
You're helping.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me deal with an issue, number one. This is actually introduction, Chad. And then I'll give you the four hindrances to healing. But that won't be tonight. I can tell you that. I already know. But I think we need to examine something. If my people, I want to deal with that tonight. We need to acknowledge our connection to God. If my people, which are called by my name. Ladies and gentlemen, just because somebody is a member of a church or goes to a religious organization really doesn't mean they are God's people.
Amen.
And I'm going to say something, and I'm going to try to be gentle as I can. Not everybody that goes to Taze Valley is saved. Now you say, who's lost? I'm not judging no one.
But by your fruits you know.
Amen.
Hey. Come on. Amen.
Yes,
and by the way, I believe most of our folks will probably say. But I want to tell you what, there's a lot of churches full of unsaved people. Don't even give an invitation into church. Don't tell me they lost people in their church. They don't even give an invitation in their church. Quote some catechism. That ain't going to get it.
Amen.
See, to become a God, a person of God, you've got to be redeemed.
Yes.
You've got to repent.
Yes.
You've got to trust God.
Amen.
Am I preaching? I know I'm going slow. There's a book I read. I might not even agree with all the book, but it was a good book. And it's a good book, Chad. It's called America on the Edge. And what it dealt with a lot in the book is what a believer really is. Or a definition of his people. And do you mind if I can help you a little bit? To go to another passage. I'm coming back, okay? Go to Romans with me. I'm going to show you three verses in Romans that I want to deal with tonight. And whether I get past this, by the way, we need to get people really saved. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And we really need to know what really saved means.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, we need to know what really saved means. It's more than just a cliche.
You're right.
Go to Romans 8 with me. I read that book. I was enamored with it. It was really good. It gave three little things in it that caught my eye, so I thought I'd use them in this message. And just try to show you an intimate connection of who my people is. Now turn to Romans. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Let me give you what my people is. Number one, I want you to notice. In verse number 14 of Romans 8, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It said that, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God,
amen,
they are the sons of God.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare tell me you got the Holy Spirit in you and you live and practice sin every day.
Yes.
I didn't say I did not say you won't sin. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a difference in sinning and then repenting than being in habitual sin every day. First of all, I want you to notice the upward path. Here's what I believe, Chad. I believe this, and I know there'll be some people who don't like what I'm going to say. I believe that if you're saved, you're on an upward path. You're climbing all the time. Now, I'm not going to say, it's just like the Mississippi River. Let me illustrate it that way. It goes down from the north to the south. Now, it'll go around bends. And it'll even look like it's not even a river. But it keeps flowing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're really saved, if you're really saved, you keep moving up for God. And I have a real problem with us calling people of God and saying my people, expecting revival from people who have not really been saved and they're not on an upward path and they've not really repented of their sins and sin still has a lock on them. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We don't preach repentance anymore. We don't preach repentance and faith. Not only when people get saved, but ladies and gentlemen, repentance ought not to stop then. We ought to repent every time we do wrong.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now you, listen to me, this is the Bible, not me. Many, many will say, Lord, Lord, have not I prophesied in thy name? There's a whole bunch of people call his name, but don't live the life. They're not on the upward path. And I believe they're deceived. I believe they're fooled. Come on, help me. It's more than signing the card or making some kind of acknowledgement. It is repenting and inviting Christ to dwell in you.
Amen.
Wonder what would happen if everybody that proclaimed to be a Christian or get on the same bandwagon and move upward for God. But I'm not trying to be negative. But there's a whole bunch of people that calls themselves Christians that just ain't it. And I'm not judging no particular person, but you can tell by lifestyle. You can tell by what they do in their life that they're not going upward. They got inward sickness and sin and deprivation and depravity. If you've been saved, you ought to be different. Amen.
Amen.
Stay with me. I've got to end this and I got to keep on. Look at verse 15. Verse 14, we have an upward path. Now, I'm not going to tell you, you're not going to fall once in a while. We've all fell. But I thank God that if you're really saved, you won't be utterly cast down. And if you're really saved, you'll get back up. And if you're really saved, you'll get back in the fight.
Amen.
We got people that really says they're really saved that social drink all the time. People really saved that watches pornography almost every day. People says they're saved that's in sexual perversion. Ladies and gentlemen, something's wrong. They're not on the upward path. I didn't say that you couldn't fall. Nobody said that. But I want you to know, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. He'll keep you going up the upper path. Number two, y'all getting some help. And I know this is slow, but I think it needs to be preached. Verse 15, look at this. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again, to fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Not only do we have an upward path, but we also have an outward profession. Turn, will you put your finger there and turn to a place with me? Turn to, I hope I got it right, Matthew 10. It's bad when I write my notes. I can't even read my own writing. Somebody help me. Turn to Matthew 10. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
And look at verse number 32 and 33. Now, I believe this. Not only do you have an upward path, but you have an outward profession, Chad. Look what it says here. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before for my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe you get saved, you get an outward profession. You first of all get in a baptistry and get baptized. Then you get into a church like this and start living, tithing, being effective, being faithful. Somebody help me preach right now. Why is it, folks, that well, I choose not to go to church. I don't have to go to church. Well, hold a minute. The Bible said not to forsake your assembling of yourselves together. We got an outward profession. We confess Christ. We ought to live what we profess.
Amen.
You say, well, you're trying to cause me to doubt. Hold a minute. If you're starting to doubt, you just need to get right. You're living in sin all the time, and you look at me and you say, I'm living in sin all the time, and I don't get chastised, but I'm a child of God. I've had people I know that live in sin all the time, and they say, I hold it, I'm saved. No, wait a minute.
Good for you.
Right.
That's right.
Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
The bad thing about it is I'm bogging down. Number three. In the book, America on the Edge, I like this. Not only do you have an upward path and an outward profession, but look at verse 16.
And we're going back to 2 Chronicles in a moment. I'm just trying to describe a real true believer. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want you to know something. Then we got an inward peace. I want all y'all to look at me. John Smith's going to lay down tonight. And if his heart stops, I don't want to stop, but if it stops, I've got a peace. I'm going on over. Because, see, I've been adopted into the family. I got peace with God. Now, I don't always have peace of God, but I got the peace with God when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He broke down the middle wall partition. He called me and somebody helped me preach. And I got an inward peace. Now, I want you to know something. I don't worry at all about if I died where I'm going. But what about you? Come on now. Are you confident if you die you're in heaven? Don't be messing with that. We've got to end with peace. It happened when I got saved. You see, you're trying to make me down. I'm not trying to make you down. But if you are not saved, I do want you to get saved. Amen. When I first came here to Tate Valley, back 43, almost 44 years ago, I preached something like this when I first got here. And we had the first 10 converts were church members. Church people in the church, 10 of the 80 that we had coming, got saved. You said, why? Why did they get saved? Because they were lost. They had their name on the book. They said the right, thought they said the right words. It's more than 1, 2, 3. You've got to repent of your sin. You've got to see yourself sinful. And by the way, it's your sin that's taking you to hell. It's your sin that's causing you separation from God. It's your sin that needs to be dealt with. Amen. If my people are yours, then I'll finish the introduction. Not only that, we have an identifying connection. We're called by His name. Now, how many of y'all can tell me the passage of Scripture, this is a quiz, where they were first called Christians? At Antioch, Acts chapter 11. Check me out, Chad. If I'm wrong, just come up here and call me. I'm an old man. I could be wrong. Danny, this is important. They weren't the one that gave them the name. And the name wasn't meant to be a compliment. But what the name means is they were little Christ. I want you to know something. We all ought to be little Christ. But see, you want to know why there's no revival? You want to know why there's no movement? Because there's a lot of us aren't little Christ. We're not emulating Him. We're not, we don't even read our Bible. We don't even pray constantly. And we say we're His people. We will never get a movement of God in this country till the real people of God get real revival in their heart and know that connection and know they're a child of God, and we don't have to take a back seat. Somebody help me preach. I'm trying. I know it's 4 o'clock out in California. Can I give you 3 more things? I'm done. Turn to Acts. You say you're going through the Bible. You're doing topical. I'm not doing topical preaching, Chad. You can do expository preaching and give scripture to back up what you're preaching. Somebody help me preach. But look at Acts chapter 4. Are you there? Say amen. I'll try to be quick. I got some preaching on me today. Y'all need to let me go on vacation every once in a while. I'll come back roaring. Somebody help me preach. But look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. First of all, I believe this, that if you're really saved, you get moved with compassion. I actually go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. I jumped. I'm sorry. Through 8. If you're there, say amen. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up immediately. And his feet and the ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered in them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I tell you what, if you are really saved, you are a person moved with compassion. You said, why did we send 21 men to Ukraine, or south of Ukraine into Romania? Because we're moved with compassion.
Amen.
I really believe real saved people are.
Amen.
Then, by the way, we're also motivated by conviction. Look at, now go over to chapter 4. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. But when they saw that boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And I know there's a lot of people want to say, I'm an unlearned and ignorant man. They marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. Those old boys, Chad, they got thrown in jail and told not to preach. And they said, we got to preach.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what we've lost. And it bothers me. I'm not a legalist. Y'all all know me. But I'm going to tell you what's happened to us. We're just not moved with conviction anymore. And I'll tell you what, when we get some convictions, everybody says, you know, they make fun of us. Well, Pastor Smith's on a tangent this week. I'm not on a tangent. We need healing. We need revival. And it ain't going to start up in the White House. It's not going to start by legislation. It's going to start when God's people find an altar and say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Amen.
Lastly, I'm done. Whew. And by the way, not only were they moved with compassion and motivated by conviction, but they were marked by courage. Look at chapter 4, verse 18 and through 20. And if you're there, say amen, I'm done.
Amen.
And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. I'll tell you what we need, Chad. I'm going to try to walk down these steps. And by the way, your preacher's a miracle. They told me I may never walk again. I want you to know something. We need to make a difference. We need to take a stand.
Right.
I don't care if they get on YouTube and make fun of us.
Right.
I don't care if these people that had dropped out of fundamental churches and want to, you know, they got to be calls now. But we can't change.
Amen.
If the whole world changes, like Dr. Bob Jones said, we got to do right.
Amen.
I don't know how long I got on the face of this planet. I'm going to do right. I'm going to try to make a difference. Because see, when you're identified with Christ, that means you're going to take a stand for Christ.
Amen.
That don't mean you're an idiot. That doesn't mean you're going to do something bad. Just take a stand. Come on now. Teenagers, take a stand. Mom, Dad, take a stand. Grandma, Grandpa, take a stand. And if the people that are called by his name don't take a stand, this country's gone.
Yeah. You're right.
Only hope for America is folks like us to say we're going to live for God. And we're going to take a stand. And we're going to be a Christian that makes a difference. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed, hopefully not moving around. This is real serious time. I want to ask you a question. After hearing this message, if you die tonight, whether your name's on this church book or not, if you die tonight, how many of you are 100% sure that you know you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand. Even if you're a church member, but you're not sure. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you a real Christian? I wonder how many people in this room, on this introductory message, would make a way to the altar tonight. Bring your family, bring your children, and cry out to God. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, if you're called by his name, could you come and make a difference? Stand with me. Can you come and make a difference? Chad, you come, and finish the invitation. I want to pray over here. Come on, come on.